Welcome to the Diane McClay Show, empowering life through choice. Get ready to discover new perspectives, motivation, and balance through Diane's compassionate storytelling and insightful discussions. Whether you're feeling stuck and discouraged, or curious and looking for more possibilities, Diane has your back, and she's ready to take you on a journey of self-discovery and expansion. Choice is powerful, and so are you. The Diane McClay Show starts now.
Welcome in, everybody. Happy Friday the 13th. I'm Diane McClay, your host on The Diane McClay Show on the Cornelia Stephanie Media Network, and we are on Transformation Talk Radio. Thank you for making the choice to spend your afternoon with us today. We know that every day and every minute of your day is important to you. So when you make a choice to inform yourself and inform your mind, you're actually making the choice to empower your life. I'm super, super stoked today to have one of my friends, a personal mentor of mine, a man that I've literally been working with for the last year on a really incredible project called The Power of Perspective. Let me introduce you with no ado to PJ from PJ'sWisdom.com. He is an international speaker, success strategist who actually focuses on results. He actively promotes peace, love, and persistence in his everyday life and all the work that he does. And he's considered one of the world leading authorities on overcoming obstacles he's the world's leader in overcoming obstacles. And PJ, I'm just going to say, I'm going to stop your bio right there because your accolades are far too many to mention. Despite your disability, you've won awards. You've been an activist in terms of sailing, skydiving. You were a former wheelchair athlete. You were nominated to carry the torch. Your awards, your accolades, and how much people love you, the list just goes on and on. So let me just stop there and say, welcome into the show. Thank you for saying yes to me a year ago. Thank you for saying yes to me now. And just say hi to everybody and tell them something that I might have missed. Like, tell them how great you are.
Well, hello, beautiful people. And thank you, Diane, for such a kind way of introducing me. And as far as accolades go or the activism, not really an activist as much as an active person, I just like to live. The truth is, like, I was only expected to live until I was 7 years old. I have a very rare form of muscular dystrophy, and I turned 53 a couple weeks ago. So I've lived 46 years longer than I was expected to. I think I have the math right on that. And so for me, I want to keep living. I'm going to live another 100 years at least. Why? Because I like life. There's so many fun things out there. There's so many delicious flavors and tastes and smells and sights to see and people to meet and things to do and people to hang out with and jokes to laugh about. Like, there's so much delicious in life that I don't want to die without having tasted everything that it possibly can. Excuse me. And when I die, I want to be like, hey, God, that was cool. When can I go back? Because I really believe that everybody should live their life in a way that makes them happy and fills them with joy. The more you actually live like that, the better the world becomes. Because when you have happiness, you can share happiness. When you don't have happiness, it's really hard to share something you don't have.
And again, all I need to do, I have chills right now running up and down both my arms and the back of my neck. This is the energy that I love connecting to. And you never don't bring it. That's bad English. Sorry, Mom. But this level of enthusiasm for life, for loving life, for taking things on. When I met you over a year ago, and we've never met in person, but I feel like we've just been best buds for all 53 years we've been on the earth. Like your belief system, your energy, it's so engaging and it's so energizing and it's so contagious. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to have you on the show is, I feel like there's a lot of negativity in the world. There's a lot of self-loathing. There's a lot of self-hate. There's a lot of judging of how we show up in the world. And what's awesome about you, this image I have in my head right now, is you're like this enthusiasm, energetic snowplow, where you're just pushing away all of the crap. And what I know to be true about you is even if you don't intentionally try to take on a client, you are committed to whoever is in front of you in the moment to help them identify that one little thing that might be holding them back. So do you want to talk a little bit about that and why that, and then we'll kind of tie into that, this project that you and I are building right now with Nikki Gangemi on the power perspective?
Sure. Like, absolutely.
Does that contribute to your life, I guess?
What do you mean? Does that contribute?
Well, does it contribute to that joy, that happiness? Like when you can help somebody and help them remove a barrier.
Oh yeah.
What does that do for you?
So first of all, what does that do for me? It makes me feel like I have some value. It really allows me to feel like I have given to somebody who is in need, because I can barely move my arms. Like literally, you probably won't see my arms the whole time. You do it because I'm leaning way over it, sort of lift them up because I don't have that ability. I'm in a wheelchair. I'm 4 feet tall in my wheelchair. I can't get in and out of my own house because I don't have a ramp. And why do I need one? I have friends. They'll help me. But for me, like, it comes down to, like, I can't carry your groceries, right? I'm not going to be able to open the car door for you. I can't pick you up if you fall. But I can be there if you fall emotionally. I can be there if you need a hand. I can be there if you need a shoulder. I can be there if you need a friend. I say this all the time on so many of the interviews that I've done over the course of my years. I say, if you can find me, you'll always have at least one friend. And I mean that because I don't want anyone to ever feel isolated or separate or alone. Not now, not ever. I want everyone to feel loved, welcome, connected, wanted, nurtured, loved. And so that's really critical to who I am. It's one of my core values: kindness, love, gentleness, compassion, sincerity. All of that ties into who I am as a person and what I want everyone else to be able to feel. I want people to feel loved. I want people to feel wanted. I want people to feel and recognize and know that they matter, that it's okay for them to live how they want to live. And it's okay if they get things wrong, because it's not really failure. It's just feedback. Well, that didn't work. Okay, let me try something different. So I make an effort to live my life without judgment towards other people. I make an effort to really be open and accepting of where somebody is, recognizing that even some of the most horrible creatures on the planet, and there are a few of them, even if we look at them and we go all the way back, we rewind in their timeline, probably they had something going on in their past that caused them to shift and move in this direction. What would have happened if they'd had different parents? Not to suggest that they had bad parents, right? But what would have happened if they'd been born in a different country? What if they'd been given different kinds of opportunities? Listen, it doesn't matter where you're born or what your situation is. Ultimately, you still make your own decisions. I still make my own decisions. I'm still responsible for myself. Everyone else out there is still responsible for themselves. But there's definitely influences that we experience outside of us. And if we don't pay attention to what's coming into us, we don't filter those in as they come in, to say, oh, I like that. I want some more of that. Or, nope, I don't want to be like that. I don't want to bite back. I don't want to fight back. I don't want to argue. I don't want to be mean. I don't want to be cruel. If that's what works for you, that's what works for you. But I'm going to receive that and attempt to be calm and quiet and gentle and kind and loving, because I want you to be able to calm down and feel like, oh, somebody's listening to me. I matter. My voice has significance. And if I stay calm, what I find is that most other people eventually calm down because they're heard. So it's real easy for me to agree with somebody because I make an effort to understand that. Once I can understand somebody, now they're open and receptive to what I might share with them, because until they get out what's in them, they're full. I can't share any other wisdom with them. So I don't know if that adds to what you're looking at. And let me say this, I've never been called a snowplow before. A snowplow. I love that. I'm 4 feet tall in my wheelchair, weigh maybe 100 pounds on a I feel bloated day. And, you know, like, I'm not plowing it. Listen, if I'm stuck in the snow, I am stuck in the snow.
Anywhere. Your energy, your enthusiasm, your wisdom. I mean, everything you just said in that last 3 minutes is it's so delicious. And I don't know how people can have anxiety, fear, animosity, anger, hurt, pain. I don't know how, I mean, I know they can have it, but it's kind of like, I feel like you are to people as gratitude is to our feelings. My personal belief is if you're physically expressing gratitude in the moment, it's impossible to feel negativity, anger, resentment, regret in that exact moment. And I feel like you, when you're talking to people, even if it's just for a brief moment in time, I feel like you push away all that stuff, that all those excuses, all that language, all that belief system that holds us back from being our true, and authentic is an overused word, but really the true, whole, balanced, delicious self that we all have the capacity of putting into the world. And that's why I'm super stoked about this project that you and I and Nick and Gajemi from Mindful Matters that we've been collaborating on for a while. So I kind of want to dive into that. Like you
can
and
we
I
dive
bonded.
Into that in just a sec. Can I add? Can I?
Yeah,
can
of course.
Okay, thank you. Because I really appreciate what you're saying about me. Thank you so much. And I think there's a piece here that's really important for people to recognize. How do I do it? How have I done it? Why do I do it? I remember being 18. I don't think I was 19. I might've been 19. I was 18 or 19. I was 18. And I went into my first Buddhism class. It wasn't my first experience with Buddhism. My grandparents lived in Japan for 10 years during my childhood. So I had some semblance of an understanding of what Buddhism might be. And then when I was, I was 19. Okay, so anyway, doesn't matter how old I was. I was 19. When I came back from college my first summer, my sister's 13. And I'm like 18 or 19 at this point. She goes, 19. She goes, read this book. And I was like, Carrie, I don't read. She goes, read this book. I'm like, Carrie, I don't read. She goes, read this book. And I was like, fine, whatever. So I read this book and it's Siddhartha by Hermann Hesse. It's the story of the Buddha. And as I read it, I'm like, oh my God, this is what I believe. Oh my gosh, this is what I believe. This is how I believe. I didn't know that there was anybody else on the planet that believed like I believed. I didn't know anybody thought like I thought. So it massively shifted the direction that I was going in my college career. I shifted and started taking religion classes, eventually becoming an international studies major with a concentration of religions and cultures. In the very first Buddhism class that I took, within the first couple of days, I remember the teacher walking up and down the aisles and said, started talking about the Four Noble Truths in Buddhism, which is basically the foundation. And it says, all life is suffering, like everything's gonna suffer. Now, Buddha did say, suffering is an option, pain is inevitable, you're going to experience pain, but suffering is a choice, right? He said that all life is suffering, there's a reason for the suffering, and there's a way out of the suffering. The suffering is because of attachment. And the moment I heard, the suffering is because of your own attachments, the whole world spun 180 degrees around, and I was like, whoa! Every moment that I've been sad, hurt, angry, frustrated, disappointed, might have tried to blame somebody else, took on the victim role, every single one of those was my responsibility. Every single one of those was based on the way I was seeing the world. Every single one of those was based on my attachments, how I wanted something to turn out, how I was looking at things, how I didn't feel like the world was doing things the way I wanted them. They were all my attachments. The moment I started to let go of my attachments, all of a sudden, this is the key. The moment I began to let go, I want you to hear that. The moment I began to let go of all of my attachments is the moment that my heart started to be revealed even more. It's not that it wasn't. I've been on television since I was 7 years old. I've been speaking on stages since I was 7 years old. You know, I've got an amazing mom. So my heart's always been out. I was talking about spirituality when I was 5 years old. I was asking my mom questions about God at three. And I wasn't raised in the church or the temple or the synagogue. So why do I bring this up? Because this is who I am naturally. But until I started to consciously and intentionally let go of things, specifically attachments, things that made me sad, things that hurt me, things that kept me away from people, until I did that, I didn't actually start to experience real freedom. And once I did that, all of a sudden there was a freedom that maybe I had never experienced before. There was a way of connecting with people that wasn't there before. There's a depth and an intimacy that allowed me to help other people and listen to other people and let go of something that might hurt emotionally in favor of something that's better and more important and more valuable for someone else. Because that attachment, that suffering that I was experiencing, sure, there might be some value in exploring that and processing that and coming to understand that. But in the moment, let me focus on someone else and I can go back and explore my own suffering later if I need to or want to. The secret is in letting go. And the beautiful thing is that if the universe is infinite, there's an infinite number of things to let go of. And if there's an infinite number of things to let go of, there's an infinite number of layers to let go of. And under each layer, you know, or in each, there's an infinite number of things, to let go of an infinite number of areas to let go of things in, an infinite number of layers. So it's like infinity times infinity times infinity of things that we can let go of. The more you let go, the more open, the more receptive, the more connected, the more aligned, the more loving, the more free, the more alive, the more you feel like you can breathe. If you let go, you're free. If I hold on, like in tug of war, I'm going to get dragged through the mud. But the moment I let go, you fall down on that side, not me.
I'm just going to say amen, brother, right?
Can I get an amen up in her?
You can get an amen up here.
Hallelujah.
Right. So here's the thing that when I heard bits and pieces of that type of philosophy prior to meeting you. But what really cemented it into my world was just how you deliver it, how strongly you believe it. And I made a couple notes while you were talking. I mean, words that popped out at me while you were talking were shifting. I heard you use the question, what if? I heard you talk about suffering is related to attachment and letting go is related to freedom. And I know in the journey of our friendship and our business relationship that we've had together, that lesson has not only come at me repeatedly, but it's actually become a part of me repeatedly. And it's now something I was talking to people about. So I coach on choice and I coach on courage and that we have more choice in our life than we're taught or led to believe or that we remember or that we even think that we should, that we have the right to have.
Right.
And one of the places that you and I bonded over was this, we had kind of the two-sided coin of like letting go and attachment is also related to choice because when I choose to let go, then I invite that freedom to kind of rush in at me. You have a quote that says, life is not about having the courage or endurance to push through when things get difficult. It's about letting go of and releasing everything, making it difficult. And then you say, change is inevitable. Transformation is a choice. And for me, that letting go, I've used this example before, but I keep coming back to it. You think about the rubber band, right? People think about the word resilience. And the first image is go back to the way you were, right? Let's go back to the way, let's be resilient after this COVID, and let's go back to the way we were. But if you think about the molecular structure of the rubber band, every time you stretch it and every time you let it go, it goes back to kind of the same shape, but it's never exactly the same shape. And then there's a point where you stretch it and you stretch it and let it go and stretch it and let it go that eventually it loses its resilience, right? And it just breaks. But the lesson I want to share with people is each time we will not break like the rubber band, each time we let go, the irony is we actually get stronger as human beings. When we let go of an attachment, we reshape, we reform. We observe and become aware of what's happening around us as a result of that. And we're going to talk about art, you know, awareness and responsibility and technique. But to me, this is where you and I, like your perspective on letting go and my perspective of letting go, my perspective on choice, your perspective on freedom. This has made a really, as to use your word, delicious, yummy, beautiful, working, dynamic, ever-changing relationship. And I feel like we're creating this product that everybody in the world needs to have at their desktop. Mm-hmm. Like, so perspective is the lens through which we see. It's how we see things. Mm-hmm. Perception is the meaning that we attach to it. So in your example, if we let go of the assumed meaning of anything, and we are willing to make the choice to look at it from someone else's view, we can't help but walk away with more resilience, more awareness, more responsibility, and more technique to actually live a life of more freedom. And you're like nodding your head. So jump in here, brother.
No, keep going. This is delicious.
No, that's kind of where I got. I kind of want to get your feedback on. This is why I'm so excited about the project that you and I are working on with Nikki about this. And we're going to bring this to life at the end of June. We're going to start talking about it here in the next couple of weeks. We're going to start promoting it. But this power of perspective, it doesn't mean you have to give up your beliefs. It doesn't mean you have to go from Republican to Democrat. It doesn't mean you have to shift everything 180 degrees and then suddenly be the person that you're not. What it means is you're just going to ask, my two favorite questions is, what if I could see, hear, or speak something differently? What if I can feel something differently? What if I can let go of my preconceived idea of what that means? And what if I could learn something new or different that might educate me about my surroundings, my feelings, my relationships, that kind of stuff?
So right? I like your questions, because I have two questions too. But here's what I like. When you say what if, what you do is you basically take your belt and you open up a couple of buttons so you can eat some more, so you can take in some more. Right. So you're like, ooh, I'm feeling like my belt might be a little tight. So let me like loosen my belt, maybe unbutton that top button of my pants. That way I can get a little more in there. Right. Because when you say what if, you're like, yeah, well, what if? Well, I don't know. What if? Well, there's all these other choices and all these other options that I can choose from. And freedom means choice. As long as you have options, you have choice. If you have choice, you have freedom. So you and I are talking about the same things. And for me, my questions are, A, do I like how I'm feeling right now? Because you never ask that question. If I'm skydiving, I don't ask that question. If I'm indoor skydiving, I don't ask that question. If I'm hanging out with friends and everybody's laughing and joking and food is delicious and everybody's having a great time, you don't ask, do I like how I'm feeling right now? Because you're just in the moment. You're in the moment. You're in that presence with everyone else. And I make a clear distinction between being in the present and being in the presence with a capital P. Being in the present is limiting based on the five senses. Being in the presence is liberating. Whole nother conversation. But anyway, my questions are, A, do I like how I'm feeling right now? And of course, I only ask that question when I don't. So the answer is always, no, I don't. So question B is, what would I rather feel instead? Right? What would I rather feel instead? So you could say, well, what if I felt this? Oh, well, if I felt like that, I might feel like this. I might feel like this. I might feel like this. So it's still real cognitive. Right. But if I ask for myself, if I say, what would I rather feel instead? It's more visceral. It's more in my body. I'd rather feel this. Right. And then really the next stage, just, I'm sure you and I have the exact same next stage, which is, well, what's the choice you're going to make? What's the decision? So for me, I go, okay, well, what would I rather feel instead? And almost inevitably, three emotions pop up. Now I don't create them. They come through me. What would I rather feel instead? Joy, happiness, laughter, love, humor, compassion, patience, curiosity, wonder. And if I say those things, I've felt those things before. And if you felt those things before, it's easy to return to them. Do you know why? Because it's like having a summer cottage. I don't need a GPS to get me to my summer cottage. We've had it for years. I've been there every summer for years. I know how to get there. I do it with my eyes closed. So if I'm feeling sad or hurt or frustrated or disappointed, and I go, what would I rather feel instead? I go, well, I'd rather feel patience and compassion and gratitude. I go, okay, let me just shift into patience and compassion and gratitude. Yeah, that feels a lot better, right? Now, some people have a hard time going from that idea of turn that frown upside down. They have a little hard time with that. So that's fine. We can go from negative to neutral, meaning think about something completely different. Literally become interested and curious and filled with wonder and studying and exploring something completely different until your brain literally just buys into this other field of engagement, other area of interest. And then once you shift it, you can go, okay, now let me shift into the positive if I need to, if you don't have the ability to go from negative to positive. But I attempt to be, in your words, real-time awareness, which we'll talk about, I'm sure, next, is that idea of being aware of what I'm feeling in the moment. So the moment that I start to feel that sensation of I don't feel good or I'm not happy or something's not right, I immediately check it and shift. So it's easier to make that change early as soon as I feel it versus waiting until I feel overwhelmed by that sensation of sadness or guilt or disappointment or hurt or anger or frustration. Then it's so much harder to go from that into the positive. Then that's when I have to go from negative to neutral. And then to the positive.
Yeah, I want to tag back in on that. And you said the word be happy. You said the phrase be happy with the decisions you make. And that is for those of you who are listening, I really encourage you to follow our Instagram and to jump on our websites. We're going to be posting this project, The Power Perspective. It's going to help you feel good about whatever decision you make. like right off the bat. And as PJ said, another thing it's going to help you do is it's going to help you shift like what might normally be a negative driving emotion for you, regret, shame, guilt, animosity, I'm not feeling enough, nobody likes me, all that negative stuff. Again, we're not overnight, we can't shift that. I mean, you can shift it if you choose to put the energy behind it and you choose to do the work. But for most people, they can't just go from a really negative position to super happy, joyous, loving life. It's a journey. It's a process. It's a transformational thing, right? Change is going to happen, whether you like it or not, whether you invite it into your life or not. It's going to happen to you, around you, or through you.
It's inevitable.
It's inevitable, right? But what you do with it, how it defines you, if you want it to define you, completely is within your power and your control. And that's another thing. If you're in a position in your life where you feel like you just don't have any control of your life, you're checking all the boxes, you're trying to get to that next level, but it doesn't matter what you do, it kind of doesn't come. The reward, the acknowledgement, the, you know, the thing that you feel you deserve because you've been working so hard, that can eat away at the soul. It can eat away at living, as you say, PJ. And this power of perspective, we have techniques. Like we literally have implement this thing today, and I guarantee you, you're going to start looking at the world differently type things. Mm-hmm. And the thing is you don't have to do any work, right? All you have to do is show up, tell us a story, engage with us in this power perspective program that we're creating, this unchallenge that we're creating, and you're going to inadvertently get some tips and some tricks and some strategies to start getting yourself out of that unstuckery of life, right? And you said decisions, being happy with the decisions you make. And one of the things that I feel called to put into the world is that too often, women especially, but men suffer from this too sometimes, that we are fearful, the binary concept of decision making, right? We are fearful of making the wrong choice, and we are paralyzed by trying to make the right one. So I would love when we come back after our break, I would love to kind of meld the concept of choice into perspective and talk about awareness. Sure. But I want to remove the binary of right choice, wrong choice, good decision, bad decision. But I want to elevate the binary of, do I like this? Is it right for me? Does it feel authentic? Mm-hmm. Do I like this? Your question, how am I feeling right now? And do I like it? And what would I rather feel? You can say, yes, I like this, no, I don't, and that's very binary, and that gives you information. But yes, it gives you expansive information, yes, where you can grow, rather restrictive information, which is right or wrong, which is a societal judgment that other people have set.
Yeah, so, and just like you're talking about, gathering the data, right? As I'm moving forward, if somebody is so paralyzed because they're so worried about making the wrong decision that they're paralyzed, they can't make a decision. The thing is, if you do something and you move forward, the benefit of moving forward is that you're collecting data points. You're like, oh, I like this, I don't like that, I really like this, I really don't want that ever again. And so the fact that you even referenced data is critical, because that allows people to feel like, oh, if I move forward, then I can feel what worked and what doesn't work. I can move in the right direction.
Exactly. So we're talking about moving forward in your life. We're talking about empowering your life by choice. My guest is PJ Dixon of PJ's Wisdom. That's PJSWISDOM.com. We're going to take a break real quick. We want you to come back and stick with us, because we are really seriously going to give you some tips on how you can change your life and you can actually be free. Thanks for tuning in. Catch you on the flip side.
Everyone, come check out this new app I'm featured in. You're going to look for KS Media Group app in the App Store, download it, launch and create your free account, get the free ebook. You're going to find me under directories, click on resources of the world's best influencers, find me at the top of the list, and take advantage of evolving your daily practice, cultivating deep inner peace, growing in love with my YouTube channel, and all the ways that you can connect with me now on social media and other ways as well. There's also a long list of live podcasts there that are listed under the directories to help you to live your best life now. Go and hurry. Get the KS Media app. Go to the App Store and download it now.
Juggling life's relentless demands can leave us unbalanced and restless. Do you feel stuck in the overwhelm? Diane McClay is a personal empowerment coach, author, and compassionate storyteller on a mission to boost you into balance and help you move forward with passion and purpose. Get unstuck with Diane on The Diane McClay Show every second and fourth Friday at 1:30 p.m. Pacific on TransformationTalkRadio.com. For more information about Diane, visit DianeMcClay.com.
Learn how to lead a happier life on TransformationTalkRadio.com. Not just talk, conversation for profound self-awareness. Stick with us. Your best life awaits on TransformationTalkRadio.com. What did you say?
You've been listening, but are you watching? Tune in to your favorite shows on the Transformation Talk Radio Facebook page. We stream live video podcasts every day.
Hey, welcome back into the second half of the Diane McClay Show. My guest is PJ Dixon of PJsWisdom.com, and we are totally talking about how you can empower your life, how you can have freedom, how choice should be something that you do every single day. There's so much good stuff here. You're going to have to go back to the replay and go back to it on my YouTube channel or on PJ's page when he gets it loaded, and just catch all the juicy, good, delicious stuff that we've been talking about. So before the break, we were just talking about choice and changing the binary concept of people being locked in between that dead space of fearful of making the right decision and being paralyzed by trying to make the right one. And PJ, you were talking about questions that are important to you. Do I like how I'm feeling right now? Yes or no? And then once we decide that the answer is no, then you can make a choice and say, what would I rather feel instead? And what's the choice that you're going to make to actually move yourself forward? So let's jump in a little bit about, art, there's kind of the three steps you're talking about, your feedback on this project that we're working on that's going to come to life here at the end of June. We've got about 25 minutes, so let's give people their money's worth on this Friday the 13th, and let's leave them with something that they can actually implement, as soon as they turn the radio off and pull their car over.
Sure. Listen, I would say that you're an artist, and as an artist, you create art, right? And whether you know this or not, you create art every moment of your day. Art stands for awareness, responsibility, and technique. Now, you can have awareness or you can lack awareness. You can take responsibility or you can be reactionary. But I believe that being a slave, or that reaction is a slave action. So we don't want to be reactionary. We want to take responsibility. You can have a technique or a strategy for what you want to do, or you can do nothing, right? So all of these have an A or B, a binary option, an on or an off, basically. So awareness, responsibility, and technique. And the fact is that they all exist inside of each one. So if I'm aware, there's the level of responsibility of being aware. And there's a technique that lends itself to being aware. If I'm responsible, I'm aware that I'm being responsible or that I'm in reaction mode. And there's a technique for being responsible. If I'm in technique and I'm working on a particular strategy to solve a problem or to make a better connection or to accomplish a task, there's an awareness that I'm there and I'm focused, and there's a responsibility because I'm doing it, and whatever the technique is or the activity that I'm engaged in. So every moment you're in art, and every millisecond your brain is cycling through this concept of art, awareness, responsibility, technique, awareness, responsibility, technique. You can't get out of it. It's just part of it. Now, it could cycle through lack of awareness, and then there's just reaction, and whatever technique or no technique, like no action comes up. That's just a reaction. You can find yourself in a reaction phase where you're like, oh, every time I get here, this person just triggers me and I react and I hate it. I don't want to feel like this. Excuse me. When you feel like that, you don't like it because you're feeling the sensation of being a slave. There's only two kinds of people in the world. There are free people and there are slaves. And if you are finding yourself in reaction, remember, a reaction is a slave action. But if you find yourself in that reaction and you check yourself and you go, wait, hold on. Do I want to do this? Because this is what always happens. That person says this one thing to me and then I react and it always causes problems with us. What do I want to do differently? The moment you do that, you're A, aware of that you're in the reaction mode. You're taking responsibility to shift out of the reaction and take responsibility, meaning become empowered. And then technique, meaning what do I want to do differently than I've done in the past that hasn't yet worked? And so the moment you do that, all of a sudden, you could even hear the sound of my voice calm down. This isn't me putting something on. This is, I was angst up when I was like, oh, like this person says this, they get so upset and it's so frustrating. And then I react and I hate that. Then I have to deal with all the consequences afterwards. Even if they don't say anything, I have to deal with that internal psychological crap that I'm trying to figure out because I just went against my values. I just compromised my values by being reactionary. Oh, I hate that. It just feels so icky, right? But the moment that you start to go, hold on, I don't like that. I want to be different. That awareness opens up the opportunity for you to take responsibility and choose a different technique. You're creating art. You're creating the life that you want.
I want to rephrase that. Awareness opens up opportunity. So let's just take an example.
Sure.
So for our listeners who are listening, just think back to yourself. When was the last time that you said something to a family member, a loved one, your boss, a coworker, and later you walked home and you're like, ah, I really regret saying that thing or doing that thing around them because it just turned into a big crap show and I wasn't expecting, right? We've all been there. We've all inadvertently stepped into the middle of a conversation and we thought we were helping and we made it worse. So when was the last time, right? Then ask yourself, if I could go back into that exact same point and do it again, what would I do different? Right? It is true. It's a cliche, but hindsight is 20/20. So if you have a moment in your life where you say, man, I wish that didn't happen. That exact second that you say, I wish that didn't happen, you now have the opportunity to explore awareness.
Listen, you know the book, Man's Search for Meaning, right?
By Viktor Frankl. I've heard of it. I have not read it.
Okay. So fantastic book. It's not a fun book. It's a fantastic book. But it's about Viktor Frankl was a Jewish therapist, psychologist, psychotherapist, and he voluntarily went into the concentration camps to be with family and friends because the German Nazi regime said that he could stay out because they could use his knowledge of human psychology. And he opted not to do that. But while he was there, he had a realization that we live every moment twice, which is exactly what you're talking about, right? You're talking about if you could, like, you're having that icky feeling inside, and you're like, oh, God, if I could rewind time. That's my rewind. If I could rewind time and go back in time, then all of a sudden I could just do things different. Well, listen, you do live every moment twice. And
at least.
Go ahead.
At least twice.
Yeah, at least twice, right? Yeah, because how many times do you ruminate? Oh my God, I wish I'd done. We sometimes just beat ourselves up about it for years. We live it over and over and over again. But if you realize that your brain is going to go through the situation, it's going to run through the conversation, it's going to think about the strategy and the techniques and the things you're going to do, whether you're building a sandwich or making a crib, right? Or whatever you're doing, it's going to run through it first, and then you're going to physically go through, or then you're going to verbally say what you thought. If that's the case, then why don't you pay attention to what you're saying and thinking and observing first before you get into that state, and then allow yourself to shift and say, I think I want to say it or do it this way. All of a sudden, what happens is your level of awareness and focus increases. And that ability to be in control and intentional goes way up. So you go from reaction to responsibility. immediately you're empowered, immediately you're in control, immediately you're able to orchestrate and interact with your environment and other people in the environment completely differently than what you might have done historically.
I want to jump in there because you said something that I think is really, really important. What, in the power perspective, we are making sure that we are being very deliberate about the terminology that we're using. And a lot of people make the assumption that the opposite of reacting is responding. And a lot of psychologists will tell you that, and a lot of coaches will tell you, don't react, respond. But you deliberately chose the word instead of reacting, you're moving into responsibility. And I want to call it out. It's your responsibility to change your situation. It's your responsibility to make a different choice to allow yourself to be more free. It's your responsibility. And that's, responsibility sounds like a heavy word, especially for people who are working and parents and they've got all these obligations, but you owe it to yourself for you to live this joyous, delicious life, to love life the way PJ does, and not even, and to do it in your own terms. You owe it to yourself to take responsibility for those moments that make you feel less free, and they end to take action to move yourself into a place of more free.
Let's soften it even more. Respond, right? Sort of has this hard D on the end, respond, like it's a command, like I have to do something. Eek, like I feel like you're kind of trying to enslave me when being a general term, when somebody says, you have to respond, give me a response. But if we look at the word responsibility, it means the ability to respond. It means that I have the power. It means I have the capability. It means I have the choice, which means that I have the freedom to respond if I would like. I have the option if I would like. I also have the option to just let go and just be reactionary, let my unconscious mind run the show and create all the havoc, or even the unconscious mind will save your life sometimes too. But that part of your brain designed to protect you and keep you alive does not always benefit you when it comes to being involved in relationships of any kind, because sometimes it tries to protect you at the expense of the relationship. So not always great, but if we feel like, oh, I have to respond, you don't have to, but by being responsible, you have the ability, the capability, the option, the choice, freedom to choose how you want to have an exchange with this person, or choose how you want to interact in this situation or act in this situation. You get to make that choice. So let's just soften the concept and the idea so it doesn't feel like, oh, I have to take this responsibility. Anytime that you say you have to, there's going to be a resistance. Why? Because there's this idea of I hate, not just I, but internal inside of your own brain. There's this idea of don't enslave me. All sentient, all living creatures resist slavery. All living creatures resist being enslaved. All living creatures resist being imprisoned. Nobody wants that. Nothing wants that. Everything wants its freedom. So if your own brain says, I have to respond, I have to be responsible, I've got to take this action, I've got to do this, I've got to make this decision, I must, I need to, I have to, all that is going to create another part of your brain that goes, don't tell me what to do. You can't tell me what to do. So there's this internal like conflict and fight inside of you. Like, I have to, but I don't. I have to, but I need to. I don't, but I'm not getting it done. Like there's a struggle inside of you. But if instead you change your language and say, well, I get to respond. I have the ability. I have the option. I have the choice. I have the freedom to. I have the, I want to. I have the willingness. You know, I want to engage in this way instead. Now, all of a sudden, there's a choice. So there's freedom. There's freedom or there's slavery. And the choice is yours based on whether or not you decide to enact your ability to respond.
And tying it back into the concept that you learned from Buddhism is that, you know, you get to have freedom or you get to have
suffering,
attachment and suffering.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Yeah. And if I'm attached, like, so our logo for POP, for Power of Perspective, Dai came up with this amazing idea of using a hot air balloon. And so think about this. A hot air balloon, everybody finds them beautiful. They're amazing. People want to go up in them. So many people are like, I've never done that, but I'd really love to do that. And yet you're never going anywhere as long as you remain attached to the ground. But as soon as you start to lift the weights, lift the sandbags off of the ropes, right? Take the sandbags off of the basket. As soon as you start to let go of the attachment to the earth, wow. Or your attachments to obligation, or your attachments to even the belief that I have to do something or I have to behave in a particular way. As soon as you start to let go, you start to lift, you start to rise, you start to float away in a really beautiful way. All of a sudden, there's a freedom, there's an elegance to your next movement that wasn't there before because it wasn't allowed to be set free, or it hadn't been yet set free.
Thanks. Yeah. Thanks for bringing up that kind of picture. And so for our listening audience, you know, I'll post something on my Instagram of kind of what we're talking about with the balloon. But you remember, like, the upper part of the balloon, they're all colored. And a lot of times there's vertical pieces of cloth that will maybe they have words on them for an advertiser. Well, our balloon for the power perspective, like, if you let go of the attachment to words would be one of those banners, meaning, words, meaning, perception, language, tone of voice. We have a whole bunch of things that really make up the top piece of that balloon. So if I choose, like, if I'm having a conversation with my family and there's a certain word, it doesn't have to be a bad word, just there's a language set that I use that creates a irritation with somebody in my family, I can be attached to using that word because that's what I want to use, or I can actually choose to let go of those words and either replace them or maybe not say anything at all. I now have choice if I let go of the typical things that I usually do to communicate with my family. And that's what we're talking about. We're talking about creating, sharing with the world simple, everyday ways of letting go and creating freedom. And it's easier than you think. Like, a lot of our listeners might be like, well, I can't let go of that. Well, you can. Maybe you let go of a piece of it. Maybe you let go of a percentage of it. Maybe you let it go for a week and then come back to it. There's a lot of versions of letting go that will just give you information along your journey. And here's the beautiful thing about humans in general. Right. As soon as, I mean, if you're walking, and PJ, sorry, this relates to you if you're kind of moving forward.
You're, oh, right, you're so funny.
In your wheelchair,
because I'm in, right? A wheelchair. If you're walking, that doesn't, right, exclude me. Right. I all the time.
But I mean, so, like, if you're walking to work, yes, literally your one foot is moving towards where you want to go. And at the exact same time, the other foot is leaving where you don't want to be. Yep. Like, I mean, that is just a ridiculously simple and beautiful concept. So guess what can happen? I have a light falling over. What can happen is, whether you're in a car or a wheelchair or you're walking or you're on a bike, if you go in one direction and you don't like where you're going, all you have to do is turn and go in a different direction. It's that simple. Half a degree, a millimeter. As soon as you pivot, as soon as you step one way or the other, or turn one way or the other, you're not going in that direction that makes you feel bad. You let go of that committed plan and you commit to something that makes you feel better.
I teach martial arts. I think you know that.
Yep.
I teach martial arts, and I've been training since, I think, 88. And I've been teaching since 97. And so Americans take these big, long steps, right? And so when an American takes a step, part of the reason that they slip and fall on ice, for example, is they take a really long step, and there's a commitment that once they reach out and their foot hits the ground, that, you know, they're committed, because they're pushing off with their back foot and they're reaching out and extending for their front foot, and nothing is straight down. It's like, I'm letting go of the past, or I am reaching for the future. But the Japanese that I train with in Japan, they take these little, what I like to say, little Japanese steps. They take like half the length of a step of an American. You know, even when they're out walking the streets and they're not training in the dojo, they'll take these little like half steps compared to an American. So there's this idea that they might be leaving where they were, but they're present when they reach the new space because their foot goes straight down. So they don't slip as much as Americans do. At least that's been my experience. I've spent a lot of winters in Japan. And while I might see my friends slip and fall, and it's hilarious, I have never, ever seen a Japanese person slip and fall. Again, doesn't mean they don't. They will. I'm sure you can find it on YouTube right now. And it's hilarious when people slip and fall, as long as nobody gets hurt. But it's because they take little half steps. Now, here's the point. If you take smaller commitments, you can shift out of it quicker. You can go, hey, I can do this for a little while versus, sure, I'll commit to that for the full day. You get halfway through the day and you're like, oh, I just want to go, right? You could say, hey, sure, I'll come for a couple of hours. And then if you decide that you want to stay another couple, you can, right? But if you say, sure, I'll stay for the full 4 hours, and you get 2 hours in, you're like, I want to get out of here, because you made a massive commitment. Now you're stuck. You can't get out of it easily. But if you take these little half steps, like little smaller commitments, things that work better for you, then you start honoring other people and honoring yourself simultaneously. So instead of reaching for the future and slipping or pushing off and leaving the past, but not being present, right? You take these little half steps. So you're present in everything that you decide to do and all of the decisions you make, whether the decision is to come or go, stay, or, you know, meet somebody, talk to somebody, whatever the decision is, doesn't matter, right? Make smaller, quicker, easier decisions instead of these massive things that feel like obligations. Make tiny decisions. The smaller decisions you make, the easier your day is. Just little decision, little decision, little decision. That's all. And no overcommitment. And then you don't feel the pressure and the weight of the obligation that you've heaped upon yourself because you didn't know how to say no, or because you said yes to something you really wanted to say no to.
I'm so glad you brought that up. And so I'm going to have you come back on the next show. My show is on the second and fourth Friday of the week of the month from 1 to 2 Pacific time. I'm going to have you come back, and I want to jump into that topic of developing the ability to say yes to yourself and things that are your priority, and really elevate your ability to say no. There's a lot of us out there that have and continue to say yes to other people because we feel obligated. We feel guilty if we say no. And not only that, but we feel bad if not only do we say no and then we feel bad about it, but now we've got, in your words, a squatter in our head, or we're renting space to that should. Like, I should have said yes. I should have been more accommodating. So I really want to make sure that we tag this, and we'll do some promotion around it. Really, I want to build a show around how easy it can be to say yes. Is that something you'd be interested in doing with me?
Yes.
See, look at that. We just did it. Look how easy it is to say yes.
Absolutely. Right. I think it'll be really fun, and we'll start small, right? Start just by like little steps. Like, how do we make micro decisions to say yes to, instead of these massive commitments that overwhelm us with that sense of obligation. So absolutely, that sounds fun. And you said something that I wanted to bring up. It was about pop. I'll think of it in just a second.
Okay.
So anyway, go ahead.
Well, I was just going to say that I know you are an international speaker. I know that you make yourself available to give motivational talks to corporations, private individuals, clients. I know you do some coaching. Take a minute and plug how people can reach out to you, how they can work with you, and also why they should work with you. Tell people why you're the person who needs to be talking to their client base or their corporation to help change the world with love and, you know, the three things you believe in.
Well, thank you. I really appreciate that. That's super cool. So why should somebody hire me? Well, I think there's a clear distinction between speaking and doing success strategy work, either with a corporation or with an individual or a couple. So in terms of speaking, why should somebody hire me? Because I'm one of a kind, baby. Because I'm super fun, I'm playful, I'm energetic, I'm lively on stage. Plus, I'm a weird looking little dude in a wheelchair where people go, what? How does that dude jump out of planes? What? How does that dude aquajet pack? How does that dude do martial arts and skydive and indoor skydive and aquajet pack and snow ski? And like, what in the world? Like, it blows people's minds. And the benefit of that is it breaks them out of their mold. It breaks them out of their shell. And what's the benefit of that? Now, all of a sudden, there's some flexibility within the corporation again, and we can enact some change. We can enact some transformation. Now, why might someone hire me as a success strategist, whether they're a corporation or a couple or an individual, meaning where are they in their life? What is it that they really want? The reason somebody should hire me is I absolutely know about overcoming obstacles. First of all, I've lived 46 years longer than I was expected to. I've lived a better life than most able-bodied people. I can't even lift my arms. I can barely stop my wheelchair. And yet I still live and thrive the way I want everyone else to. So it's real easy for us to sit together and work together to identify what are the obstacles in your way? How can we let those go? And the moment you start to let things go, there's a freedom that appears in front of you. Now you get real choice. So if you want to find real choice, if you want to find real freedom, let's find somebody who understands what it means to let go of the obstacles and the resistance and embraces the opportunities.
I think it's well said. And I just pulled up your website. It's www.pjswisdom.com. So PJs without the apostrophe, pjswisdom.com. If you want more freedom in your life, if you want to have control over your life, if you want to start saying no to other people and start saying yes to you, and more importantly, if you're somebody who believes in promoting peace, promoting love and persistence in yourself, your family, your work environment, and the world around you, you have got to reach out to PJ and book him as either a coach or a speaker. I endorse him. My world has shifted. My world has been rocked since I met him a year ago. And I cannot wait until I get to spend in-person time with him to just get even more of the PJ deliciousness. We got to wrap it up, PJ. I'm going to give you like 30 seconds, final word.
Okay, final words. Seek not to love more, but instead to remove the obstacles separating you from love. Seek not to love more, but instead to remove the obstacles separating you from love. You can exchange that word love for anything. Seek not to work harder, but instead to remove the obstacles separating you from that type of work you want to do. It's all about letting go.
It's all about letting go. We're going to have to let our audience go now so they can tune into the next show on Transformation Talk Radio. You will be able to find a replay on my YouTube channel in a couple of days. So please check it out. Lots of good deliciousness. PJ, you'll come back, I'm assuming.
Yes.
Thank you for being here. Thank you for being you. Thank you for contributing your gifts and energy and talents to the world.
Thank you. I love you guys.
All right.
Thanks, Di. I love you.
Love you too. Bye.
Bye.
Thank you for listening to The Diane McClay Show, where you are empowered to enact change in your life through choice. You know that little voice in your head that's been telling you to pursue that passion project? Or maybe it's been screaming for you to go outside and explore the great outdoors. That voice is you, and you deserve to be heard. Listen, make a choice, make a change, and watch yourself grow. For more information about Diane or to work with her personally, visit dianemcclay.com.
Views expressed on this program are those of the host, guests, and callers, and do not necessarily reflect the views of the station, its management, or advertisers. You're listening to Transformation Talk Radio.